Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, everybody? Happy Friday. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can find the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. I am overjoyed to be joined once again by the one and only Tyler Brook. You can find him on social media at Tyler D. Brook. Of course, you can find him on the 33rd team. He does tremendous work over there, so make sure to follow it whenever and always. Just always do it. Tyler, it's great to be chatting with you, my friend. How are you doing?
Doing great, you know, continuing to grind the film on all these prospects. I'm always blown away by the guys that are already at like 300 and 400 guys. I'm like, I got to 125 and I'm like so proud of myself. So when I see these draft guys that are already, I'm like, man, like you guys are just killers out here.
When do you start? Like when was your first prospect that you watched?
The day after the draft. Like, I'm not joking. Like literally yep. The day after, get the summer scouting in. I might just have a dependency or an addiction or something. I'm a little
worried. No, I swear I say this every year and every single time I mean it. I'm like, once the draft is done, like, cause I usually come off of cramming for 3 months or 2 months yeah. of, you know, cramming for the draft. I'm like, I'm just going to watch one prospect a day. And even if I only get like, you know, 30, 40, 50 snaps in, I'm just going to watch one prospect a day. By the mm-hmm. time I get to next year, I'll have, you know, 200, 300 guys that have studied to some extent. I'll know who they are, whatever. And then I get to this time and I'm like, I've got like five guys that I've looked at just because
it's like New Year's resolutions, right?
I know it really is. It really, really is. And it's just, I say it all the time. It's really hard. You know, if I really want to cover the Packers the way that I want to cover the Packers yeah. to start digging into all, like, I just always feel like, oh, there's more film to watch from the Packers or their upcoming opponent or who they just faced or like any of that stuff. And I'm like, I want to focus on that. And then as soon as the season's done, I do free agency, then the draft. So I'm overjoyed. It's going to be probably next week that I dive in head first and I can't wait for it. I'm super pumped for it, but you are still far ahead of me, my friend. So congratulations and kudos to you.
I mean, I always enjoy doing it. And obviously you got to DM me on guys you like or don't like. Come with me with thoughts. I love my favorite part about the process is that people disagree.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's like, as long as you're not disrespectful about it. Like, I think actually I learn more when I see someone disagrees with me on a player.
A million percent. And I think like that's always a great sort of notion and just mindset to have too, because guess what, Tyler, you are going to get things wrong. I'm going to get things wrong. The draft expert that would just say everyone's going to fail is going to be the person that gets the majority of their prognostications yeah. correct at the end of the year. So it's a really, really tough gig to kind of figure out and hammer it out, but it also is what makes it fun. And yeah. I know for me, it brings me so much more enjoyment from an NFL standpoint, because you sort of get invested in guys that you liked in the process that you didn't like, and just wanting to see yeah. not necessarily hoping that the ones you didn't like fail, or that mm-hmm. just to see what did you get right, what did you get wrong, and how you can kind of grow as an evaluator. It's one of the yeah. more fun aspects. And like you said, the dialogue back and forth of breaking down people is a huge aspect of that as well.
Couldn't agree more.
Let's start. Not necessarily from a draft orientation standpoint, but it definitely affected some draft capital over the course of time. We got word officially on Thursday that Aaron Rodgers is, of course, no longer going to be a New York Jet. It sort of, not in totality, puts a bow on everything, because how Luke Musgrave and Lucas Van Ness and to an extent Jacob Monk and some of these players that ultimately ended up being a part of this trade evolve will go a long way in determining it long term of everything. But I can tell you right now, Tyler, without even knowing anything else, the Jets did not do well in this trade. I don't need another 5 years to see how, you know, Zach Kuntz sort of ended up at tight end for the Jets to figure this out. In totality, the final trade, the Jets received Aaron Rodgers, Will McDonald IV, which they is a good player, but they moved down. So they theoretically, even if they didn't do this trade, they would have been able to get Will McDonald anyway, because they moved down two spots in the draft. So it's not really anything that they got out of this deal, if you will. And then they traded the pick that they got from Green Bay for 2 7th round picks, which ended up being Jerick Bernard Converse and Zach Kuntz. So that is
Never heard of that first one. I'm going to be totally honest.
It's a beautiful thing. It's exactly everything that you need to know about it as well. So that's what the Jets got out of it. Not to mention, they took on an exorbitant cost from a salary cap standpoint, got Green Bay off of that contract, which was a huge win for Green Bay. And then this is how Bill Barnwell put it. And I want to make sure I got this.
It was so good.
I know. 2 second round picks is what they gave up. And then, sorry, I lost it here for a second. So 2 second round picks, $75 million for Aaron Rodgers. The contracts of Alan Lazard and Randall Cobb, who they obviously went out to get to, you know, satisfy Aaron Rodgers and going to New York. They also gave up a third round pick and $11.6 million for Davante Adams, a year and a half plus of Nathaniel Hackett as offensive coordinator. And they ended up with 5 wins out of it. So it's just, it's not great for the Jets. Not great at all.
I'm so conflicted by it because like the way that Rodgers era ended, like it was just such a, like, I think regardless of how you felt about Rodgers, just like a sigh of relief that it was over.
Yes.
But like at the same time, I felt things when I watched him throw to Davante Adams this year.
Totally agree.
It's just, it's a weird feeling. And like, I think it's, I hate to say it, but it's almost predictable the way it's ending for him. Like, I don't know what team's actually going to really want him. And we all saw, I think, what the inroads were going to be. It's just sad that, like, for a player that brought Green Bay a Super Bowl and had all these iconic moments and seasons, that this is the way it ends. It's just, it is going to leave a blemish on his legacy when I think he could have retired. And, like, obviously for the Packers long term, it's great for the franchise that he wanted to play somewhere else because they got value out of him. But it just really stinks that this is how it ended.
I totally agree. I wish it would have gone in a variety of different ways. And I always, like, the best deals are the ones that work out for everyone in the deal. Yeah. I look at the Detroit Rams trade.
Yeah.
100%. Goff for Stafford. The Rams get a Super Bowl out of it. Stafford really adds to his legacy by getting that Super Bowl out of it. Jared Goff goes from forgotten to being one of the better quarterbacks in the league. It's a huge contract out of it. And the Lions go from complete below mediocrity and just a horrible franchise to now being at least one of the regular season powerhouses of the league. That was one that literally benefited everyone in that deal. This one clearly did not work out for the Jets, set them back probably at least 4 or 5 years, if not worse than that. From Green Bay's standpoint, they move up to get Lucas Van Ness. That one is a bit of a TBD on how that will work out. They get Luke Musgrave in the second round. They get Anders Carlson later in the draft. That has not worked out. He actually got a stint with the Jets, which kind of makes it a little bit funny as well. Adrian Cooper this past year, which is a huge pick. It softens the blow a little bit of that pick not being a first rounder. Had Aaron Rodgers played, you know, the whatever was it, 67, 73, whatever it was, percent that he needed to play of those snaps. But they get the second round pick. It ends up being Adrian Cooper, which is a huge pick. Then they traded some picks. They ended up getting pick 168 for Jacob Monk. And then they used pick 190 to move up to get Evan Williams. So that's what it was from Green Bay. And then the big thing, of course, is they get off of that contract for Aaron. They also get the opportunity to really see what Jordan Love is capable of, which, of course, they sign him to the big deal as well. So it is, I think, safe to say it's worked out a little bit better for Green Bay than it has for New York.
Yeah, the piece I'm still very interested in is Jacob Monk. I have no idea if he's ever going to start, but I hope to see him like more at some point because I actually kind of liked his tape. I was a little surprised at it at the time. I liked it more than Glover when I had gone back to watch him. But I think overall the value is more of just a wait and see outside of Edrin Cooper, my child, my son that I love so much. I think that alone just makes me, and the getting off the cap, it makes it feel worth it. And then the rest of these guys being TBD, like, I know we're going to talk about it later, but it's a huge year for the rest of those pieces.
Totally agreed. And we definitely will be talking about that later. Really quick, we've got odds for who Aaron Rodgers will end up on next.
The Steelers. Can I guess number one?
Sorry, I already ruined it for you.
No, yeah. This would be my guess, so we're good.
Yeah, that would have been my guess as well. Steelers at plus 200. Do you want to guess number two?
Raiders.
I won't ruin that one. Raiders at plus 250. Okay. Do you know, here, number three is a more interesting one.
Is he a backup somewhere? Is that the presumption?
I'm going to say no, but I don't know of the entire...
Giants?
The 49ers is number three at plus 350. So I'm assuming that's not to be a backup. I'm assuming that means that something happened with Brock Purdy, that he got moved somewhere else and they didn't want to give him the massive contract. That's more an issue, but they're only like plus 350. So it's not like that much down from the Steelers at plus 200. So that was a very, very interesting aspect of it. But my gut says Steelers. It just makes the most sense. Yeah. And if it's not Steelers, it's hard to get to anywhere else that really makes sense for both sides.
the relationship between him and George Pickens would just be a content gold mine.
I totally agree. I'm all in for it just for that. Like, I want to see it because, yeah, it's going to be a beautiful train wreck.
I actually think the funny thing is, I think they'd hate each other, but like Pickens would put up like 1,500 yards.
There could easily be a situation where Pickett does everything wrong and Rodgers throws it to him out of spite because like, oh, you're doing everything wrong. I'm just going to throw it to you. So it highlights how dumb. And then Pickett just makes the play anyway, Pickens just makes the play anyway and like takes it to the house. And Rodgers like, I don't know what to do with this. It'd be a beautiful viewing experience. So yeah. Either way, just kind of fun to put a bow on that entire Rodgers sort of situation. We'll see where he ends up next. And of course we will keep a very keen eye on that as well. The other thing that I wanted to ask you before we get to our main topic is obviously we're starting to get into this free agency, pre-free agency period. I guess we're still about a month away from the legal tampering period, if you will. As you've started to kind of look at who's available, who might make sense, Green Bay's biggest needs, do you have a crush list as of this point as to who you would love to see Green Bay go after, whether it be via free agency or trade?
Yeah, I actually wrote a few names down. Oh, you get a trade because I was going to give you a bonus trade one at the end.
There you go. I gave you
So obviously cornerback's going to be huge, and I've been doing a lot of homework on corners. The one name I keep liking, but I think it's going to depend on how they approach Jair, is DJ Reed. I don't think he's a number one corner. He's only 5'9". He's quite small, but he is effective in the run game. I think he's a great number two receiver on any roster. Corner. If they keep Jair, would love for him to be around. If they don't keep Jair, Justice Mosqueda has done a lot of homework on Paulson Adebo, so I want to make sure he gets the credit for that because I'm bought in. Like, good man coverage corner. I think he broke his leg last year, but seems like he's rehabbing well.
Yeah,
that's a guy I think could be a very nice CB1 in Green Bay, and I don't think the price tag would be crazy. So I think they take some kind of swing on corner. Just because the draft's so weird at the top, and then do you really want to develop another guy when you have, you know, Carrington, Valentine, and Nixon, and Stokes, and none of these proven talents at the position? So I imagine that's a place they are fairly aggressive in free agency. If we're going edge, just give me a veteran on a cheap deal. Khalil Mack, Chase Young, I really don't care. Just get something, someone that can be proven to produce, especially in a 4-3 defense. You can stop me if you want to talk about any of these as well.
Just really quick on that. Yeah. The Adebo one's funny because Justice and I did an episode together for Tuesday's show, and we gave each other homework assignments at the end. We gave each other two free agents to look at and then two draft picks to look at, or, you know, prospects to look at. And Adebo is one of the ones that we settled on. So one of the reasons that we did the homework, or at least I haven't done it yet, one of the reasons he's done the homework on Adebo is because we gave each other the assignment. We both had kind of brainstormed that could be somebody that would fit Green Bay. And of course he did that unbelievable analytics assignment to kind of look at who kind of made sense from a corner standpoint. And we wanted to take a closer look at Adebo because he was somebody I really liked coming out. And he was somebody that it caught my eye early in his career. And then of course has had some injuries along the way, but I'm excited to watch him because I do think he's going to be somebody that does actually make a lot of sense for Green Bay.
Yeah. Here's an interesting one that I've looked at because I don't know what's going to happen with Josh Myers, and the center class just outright stinks in this class. Drew Dolman out of Atlanta. I've not watched him at all. He's 26 years old. I don't know if he's going back to Atlanta. I don't know how expensive he is, but hey, free agent center that has a proven track record. Like, you can talk me into that one.
Yep. Here's what I will say about Dolman. I'm going to be like, I'm not necessarily advocating for going and paying big money for a center, and I don't think Green Bay would necessarily do it. But if they give Josh Myers like a 8-10 million a year deal for like 3 or 4 years, and Dolman goes for like 9-11 mil per year for like 3 to 4 years, and they don't like just aggressively go to make up the difference and be like, we'll do that, we'll even give Dolman a little bit more if need be, I would much rather pay Dolman like 2 to 3 million more per year than Myers and go in that direction than kind of run back the Josh Myers experience.
It's funny because like there were years I really did not like Myers, but over the past year, I thought he was fine.
But that's the thing. He's fine. You know, if you have the opportunity to get a good center, which I have not watched Dolman yet, it is on my to-do list. But if you can get a good center over a fine center and the difference is like 2 to 3 million per year, I would much prefer the good center. Call me crazy.
No, I get it. Milton Williams is a name I keep seeing. I think they do need defensive line depth. I would just wait till the draft, man. Like, there's so many good D linemen, and yeah. I like all of them. Like, every time I watch one, I'm like, this dude rules. Like, they're all different shapes and sizes. I think they could take two in the draft, and I'd be pretty stoked about it. If they want to take a swing, I just wouldn't want a Milton Williams because it's just so expensive, and I think the cap could be used better. But like, I just want to make sure I got a name in there on the D line, and then we can talk about the trades. If they want to give a first round pick or two for Myles Garrett, man, I'm not going to say no. Realistically, though, if they want to go for Max Crosby and reunite it with Josh Jacobs, dude, just get like a proven star. I always think about the Reggie White signing and like how it helped get the Favre over the edge. I need a superstar pass rusher on this defense. And
yeah,
why? If you're getting a first round pick, hoping that they could develop into something, your Super Bowl window's now. Use yeah. that first round pick. Go take the swing. I don't care. If you want to use that cap space on a guy that's already under contract for a lot of money, but he's a proven superstar, take it. Take it.
Totally agree. Totally
I would also agree. Take DK Metcalf.
That's a big Justice one. How do you think DK fits in LaFleur's offense? And let me preface that by saying, I think Matt LaFleur can find ways to make anything work. If you gave him whoever, he'd be like, yep, I got it. I'll make it work. But we know that Green Bay loves their versatility at wide receiver, being able to line up in pretty much every spot, run the full route tree, do everything that you wanted to do. I do think he would block well on the outside, so that he has going for him. But do you think he would fit in this offense? Do you think Matt LaFleur would be fine with it?
Yeah, I mean, he's the Christian Watson replacement in my eyes for next season, and he does a lot of those things well, if not better. And I think if you can get him bought in, like, you know, it's a fresh start. It's a new team. There's some excitement that comes with that naturally as just being a person. Talk him into some different roles. Like, hey, you want to try this for once and see how he, you know, does with it. I wouldn't discount it at all. And I keep going back to, wouldn't that dude look sick in a Packers jersey? The vibes above everything else would just be incredible for me. I was so fascinated by him as a prospect. I thought the discourse around him as a draft prospect was honestly, even like to this day, still some of the most fascinating discourse around a guy I can remember.
Totally agreed.
And just, they need someone that can beat man coverage and get over the top. And Jordan Love loves to sling it deep. There's just so much about it I actually think is a really good fit.
That's one of those where one of the first things I look at the day, like the Monday after the draft is done, is like who went where and what fits make sense. And at the time, Russell Wilson was like the best deep ball thrower in the NFL, and they get DK Metcalf on the outside. I'm like, that's one of those that just was like a picture perfect fit. And of course, when Wilson was still slinging it, it looked perfect. And then of course he wasn't slinging it as well and didn't maybe look quite as great, but that was one of those fits that I loved right away in that draft. And I've always liked DK from day one. And if Green Bay wanted to do that, I would be all for it. By the way, going back to Max Crosby for a moment, I posted this from BetUS today. This is not an ad for BetUS as we're talking here, but they had it up and it was a stunner to me. Max Crosby, the odds that he will be a Packer at some point this season. So maybe it's not the off season, but by the trade deadline, whatever. +150 No is -200 So like,
wow. That,
the implied probability of +150 is 40%. That they're basically saying that there's a 40% chance that Max Crosby would be a Green Bay Packer. That seems beyond absurd to me, unless like something is known, and I don't know. So that was a very, very bold, crazy number to me when I saw it. Like if you would have asked me, like, I think I would have said like +800, +1,000, maybe. I would have guessed farther on that end than I would have said +150. Never would have guessed +150.
I mean, Packers are in a position to contend. Does Crosby really want to go through a rebuild?
Probably
Packers
not.
Have the resources. I think his contract's actually pretty fair value for what he is. In fact, he might be undervalued as far as contract wise. And he's got former teammates there. He's got Jacobs and Keyshawn Nixon, and maybe you bring back another one in Devontae Adams. Just have the Raiders in Green Bay, which sounds so bad when you say it out loud. But if you take all their best players and put it on the rest of this roster, that's a very, very fun football team.
I think so too. I'm all in on that as well. It'd be really, really fun. And Goody, go make it happen. As much as the free agency, the draft, the trades are really fun to build this team into what they could potentially become this season, the opportunity to really grow as a team is there just as much, if not more, by actually growing the players that are already on your roster, guys on your roster stepping up and becoming better players. You're going to have probably, what, 35, 40 guys that are on the roster right now that are probably going to make up your 53-man roster. Those are the players that you probably need to continue to improve and step up and be better to a real extent if you want to reach the pinnacle and actually go out and win a championship. So what I thought would be fun today is looking at the roster right now and looking at which players need to have the biggest jump or just have big off seasons in front of them to hopefully make that leap and become the player that we as fans are hoping that they could become or will become. So I will let you start, Tyler, and we can kind of go back and forth on this. Who's the first player that comes to mind where if you're saying we need this player to take a step or just to be more consistent or whatever that thing may be, who's the player on the roster that comes to mind first? Well, it's over. Football season has officially come to an end and Green Bay now starts fresh as they look forward to the 2025-2026 season. But just because football season's over doesn't mean Prize Picks season needs to come to an end. While there's never a bad time to sign up, you can download the app right now and sign up today to get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. And don't forget that Prize Picks doesn't end with football season. Basketball, college basketball, soccer, tennis, women's college basketball, darts, and so many more sports and options are out there for you to play right now. This week, I'm going with Darius Garland to have a huge week for Cleveland, Anthony Edwards to go off for Minnesota, and I'm even expecting a big game for Jude Bellingham in soccer. I'm keeping my eyes on absolutely everything. Just make sure you don't forget to download the Prize Picks app today and use code Packaday to get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. That's the Prize Picks app using code Packaday to get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. So what are you waiting for? Prize Picks, run your game.
The name that came to first surprised me. I don't want to go with any of the obvious ones, but the name for some reason just jumped out to me was Jaden Reed.
Interesting.
I think he is a phenomenal player, and he took a big step back in the tail end of last year. I don't know what happened. I don't know if he was hurt. I don't know if it was the utilization. I don't know if people are like, hey, they're going to run jet sweeps a lot with Jaden Reed, and they're going to snuff that out. But the Packers need that presence underneath when it's not Kraft and he needs to block. I think the slot is such an important position in today's NFL. And I just, the drops were a huge problem. I know we talk about Dontavian Wicks a lot about the drops, but Reed became quite a liability as far as drops. And this is a guy that has what, 14 touchdowns in two seasons. Excuse me.
Yeah.
He's just, I think he's tough as hell. And I think that he's done a lot, but I don't know what happened in the tail end of last year that he took such a step back. And I think he needs to get back on that development path to being, you know, one of the more dominant slots in the league, because I do think he can be that.
Yeah, he's a really interesting player in the fact that the first like year and a half of his career, I was just astounded by how well he was playing. And then he just hit that wall, so to speak. And I'm not sure as well what that was, if it was just a confidence thing. I'm trying to figure out when. Yeah, it was really towards more the end of the season. Where it really kind of fell off. I mean, for me, you mean his final, what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 games at like a plus 0.5 grade on him, which is again, for him, nothing. Like prior to that point, I had a plus 8.25 grade on him, like just a complete different grade. And same thing for the year prior, like consistently good. And then just hit that wall. And especially down the stretch was just not the same guy. Couldn't get him going from like a gadget standpoint, couldn't get him going as a wide receiver, couldn't get him going even to like some out of the backfield stuff, like just a totally different player at the end than what we were used to. He's such a key player where like, even you go back to like that first game against Philly, where obviously again, Green Bay lost that game, but he was massive in that game. He was just all over the place making big plays. And you just didn't see that same performer by the end of the year. So him getting back on that form to where he was earlier in the year would be such a huge, huge piece for this offense. Cause when he's going well, this offense is usually going well.
Yeah. And I wonder if that's a utilization thing, but also how defenses were playing them and, you know, not being as worried about deep stuff and just covering up everything or just making their entire defensive game plan a focal point on him. Cause when, you know, Watson was out and, you know, Dobbs was out, how many more threats are there really on that offense as far in the passing game? So maybe their entire game plan was just try and shut him down.
All right, I'll take a low-hanging fruit one to start because I'm basic. I'm going to go I'm going to go with LVN. It's just, it's a very clear and obvious one. They have not gotten anywhere near the ROI in the first two seasons out of LVN that they would have liked. I still stay pretty steadfast in the fact that this is not one of those players where when he's on the field, you're like, oh my God, what is that guy doing out there? He does not belong on an NFL. He's not like a bust to the extent of like, you don't even want him out on the field. He's a fine third or fourth rotational edge rusher that can give you 15 to 25 snaps per game. They're mostly going to be fine. He's got good effort, good strength. Like he's going to give you everything he's got while he's out there. But that's not why you take somebody in the top 15 of the draft. You take them to be a game wrecker, somebody that can get you pressures, consistently set the edge. And we just haven't seen really any of that from LVN. And we just saw how important that pass rush is in the Super Bowl. We see it every year. It's it's reiterated to us almost every playoff run of just how important that front four is. And when you invest that high of a pick in a player like that, to not get the level of impact that you want really stings. And we also know that for edge rushers, there are times where these are players that once it clicks, it sometimes is out of nowhere, and then it clicks, and then you have something potentially even special out of it. So if he can be that guy where whatever it is, year three, it just clicks into place and he develops a move or two to go with all the traits that he has, then it might be honestly game out. Like he might be one of the better edge rushers in the NFL, but right now he is very clearly not, and it's been disappointing through two seasons so far.
I mean, I totally agree with you. I was going to say, he just needs a pass rushing plan. You can't just bull rush all of your problems away.
No.
And beyond that, it's just like he gets caught out of position when he's a conflict defender too, which is really frustrating. Yeah. Like he bites a lot. And Gary had the same problem pretty early on too. And it's funny. Now we talk about, when I watch Gary, I think about him more as an edge center this past year. I thought he was so much more improved against the run. I'm hopeful that, I think you just got to get in the lab with Van Ness. And I totally agree with you. If he can just unlock, you know, the technique and discipline parts, which are totally correctable things, I think that's a very dangerous guy in waiting. He's literally like built in a lab to be a 4-3 defensive end. So just hoping they can really, you know, unlock that potential.
I was talking about this the other day. I have a little scouting book that I got of like what the ideal, like height, weight, speed, like, you know, all the traits are of like, of every position, whether it's a 4-3 end, a 3-4, you know, end, a nose tackle, three technique, whatever it is. And it's got like the ideal everything. And if you were to draw a picture of what's labeled in that book for a 4-3 defensive end of like what the height, the weight, the speed, the profile, everything, it's literally a picture of LVN. Like he fits it to a T, but it doesn't matter if you don't have that pass rush plan, you don't have the technique to go along with it. He does not have that technique. And like you said, he's got to get in the lab to get there.
Yeah, totally agree. All right, you ready for mine?
Number two on your list. Yep, go for it.
All right. Should have been number one. I'm just going to do it. Jordan Love. Yeah. Not even to say he's played bad. I mean, he has played bad. He's had some bad games. I'm still a very staunch believer in him. I don't think he was the problem on the offense. I think there's so much that he does well. But in order for this team to be a Super Bowl contender, he's got to take that next step. And this is not to say I don't think he will. I actually genuinely think he's going to take a huge step this year. Injuries clearly bugged him. I think the thing that's going to unlock him a lot, and I think he's aware of it, is he's got to start moving out of the pocket. I think when he sees pressure and sees an outlet, he's got to take off downfield. We saw a bit of that his first year as the starter. He's got that long speed. I wouldn't say he's particularly quick or nimble, but he has those long strides and speed that he can take off and, you know, create plays with his legs. My guess is that we see more of that next year, as long as he's fully healthy, which knock on wood, but, you know, a whole off season to get healthy after dealing with, it felt like so many just wacky things kept happening to him all year. I have the utmost confidence that he's taking a huge step forward. I think we'll see a Pro Bowl. Not sure about all pro. It's just a very loaded quarterback era right now we're in. But I am very much looking forward to seeing what year three as the starter looks like for Love.
Jordan Love very clearly on my list as well. If either of us would have set him as first on our list, then it becomes the thing, right? Of like, oh, like he's like the one, and I'm with you. Like he's very clearly on the list and I think he can play better. I think we all hope and semi believe that a lot of the struggles last year were due to either the injury or the injury and the lack of practice time, like just not being able to be out there on the practice field because of the injury, I think affected everything. Then the rhythm and the timing within the offense and like just all of it. And I really do believe that. I really do believe that that was a large part of it. I think he's going to bounce back in a significant way. I do think he's a really good quarterback. I go back to the fact that there was so much at the end of 2023 where like, oh, you got hot at the right time. Or you were just like, the stuff that he was doing was not fakeable. It wasn't something like, I go back to the play against Dallas where he sees the, you know, he uses his cadence to get Dallas to tell what they're going to do. He uses a check that they had put in like week six of that year to get the line set up the way that he needs it to get protected the right way, gets Dontavian Wicks to get the route that he needs to get to run it against that coverage, then knows he needs to bail on the play still because there's going to be a rusher that's going to be on him. And then to be able to fade off of his back foot, throw an absolute dime to exactly where Dontavian Wicks is for a touchdown in a playoff game on the road against a team who had not lost at home in like over a year. Like that's not a fakeable thing. There's way too much involved in that one play to just be like, oh, you just got lucky on a couple throws. Mm-hmm. Like that's not it. So I still believe that he is super talented and that he can play at that level and even consistently at that level. But for him to go out there this year and prove it, I think is going to be huge for him, huge for this team, and just kind of, again, erase any of those doubts that anyone might have at this point.
Every time someone brings up that Cowboys touchdown, I think Jordan Love has the best core strength of any quarterback in the league.
Yeah.
Because the torque he puts on his core on some of those throws and then to deliver with velocity is just ridiculous.
Is it the core strength or the silly body, or is it a little bit of both?
Or is it Toyotathon?
It could be Toyota. It could be all of the above. All right. Number two on my list, I could go a variety of different ways, but I even toyed with this being number one. And since we talked about it as part of the Aaron Rodgers trade earlier, I'm just going to combine it with LVN here. It's Luke Musgrave. Mm-hmm. And I so want him to be what we want him to be, because this tall, lean, field stretching tight end that can get up the seam, that can run after the catch, that can bring some speed to this offense, especially they're going to need it with, you know, at least of right now with no Christian Watson, like they can use that more field stretching speed out there anywhere they can get it. And the idea of Luke Musgrave is phenomenal. Should be a huge red zone weapon. We saw, and again, they're not apples to apples players, but we saw as JerMichael Finley progressed, he became a weapon where you could almost line him up on the outside one-on-one. And it was like, who are you going to put on him? You're going to put a smaller corner? All right, we're just going to throw a jump ball to him and he's going to go get it. You put a linebacker? No, you don't. You can't put a linebacker on him. You put a safety on him and he's just going to beat him inside on a slant. Like there's the mismatch nightmare. That's what I want Luke Musgrave to be. The idea of Luke Musgrave so far through two seasons has been way better than the product of Luke Musgrave on the field. A lot of that is injuries. We've seen a lot of missed time due to injuries. He's been injured in the off seasons and he just hasn't been able to stay on the field. But even when he has been on the field, it's been a little bit underwhelming. It's been stumbling at times and not being able to utilize that run after the catch. The Musgrave stayed on his feet is sort of also for a reason, because that has been a bit of a problem for him. He's not a great blocker. He's an effort blocker in the run game, but he's not a great blocker in the run game. There's just not a ton right now where you point to and be like, well, is he a good red zone weapon? Not exactly. Is he a good seam stretcher? Not exactly. Is he good after the catch? Not exactly. Is he a good block? Not like, you just look at it and like, there's not anything that I point to and be like, yeah, he does that really well right now. I just need a little bit more something there. And if you can get it, if he takes that step, the dream two tight end set with Musgrave and Kraft that we've barely even got to see because of injuries to both players, it just has the ability to be a real cheat code within this team. But it can't be that if Musgrave doesn't become the player that we all wanted him to be as a very early second round pick just a year ago.
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head. Like, we're trying to even figure out what the defined role for him is at this point.
Yeah.
Because just we're not seeing what that game changing trait is. And it's even hard to see, like, even back when he was drafted, like he was coming off a torn ACL out of Oregon State. And we just weren't sure when he was going to be ready. And like, obviously, I always feel like the year after the year is when you're supposed to, you know, bounce back from that ACL fully. And then obviously he gets hurt again that year after the year. So I want to see what that role is. I want to see what he can do well. I still imagine it's as a weapon in the pass game. And I imagine you can utilize him and, you know, open up the playbook a bit more when he's out there and fully healthy.
Love it. Now, who you got as number three?
I'm going to go Carrington Vett. I'm going to go Carrington Valentine. Okay. I have a couple other names that I'm just toying around with. I'm going to do a random one at the end. How about that? But
deal.
Valentine, when he got drafted, I went and watched the film. I loved. He comes in as a rookie and is so competitive. I'm worried he's going to get 15-yard penalties for celebrating. Tons of ball production as far as pass breakups. Seattle game this year was awesome. And then just sour taste in my mouth with him getting stiff-armed into oblivion by Dallas Goedert in the playoff game, which sucks because, like, I think he's been pretty good when he's on the field. Yeah. And it's a big prove it year. If Jair gets cut and we're not sure what they're going to do at corner, he's going to have to play a lot. And I have the utmost faith in him just because I've seen the intensity and the desire to be great from that kid. And clearly he was crushed by giving up that touchdown in the playoffs, that sideline shot. I think he's a starting caliber corner in this league. I just need to see that big jump up, especially in physicality. I'm wondering if he bulks up this offseason after that incident. But I just enjoy the player and I enjoy how he's wired. And it's just a kid I'm rooting for because of that.
That's perfectly said. I could not agree more if I tried. Like, he's so fun to watch. It's him in training camp is just a joy. And really? You know, yeah. If anyone's at training camp this year, just take a couple moments to watch Carrington Ballantyne. He very clearly cares about his craft very much and he wants to be really good. The energy is contagious. I love him out on the field, but clearly some deficiencies in his game that he needs to kind of clean up and improve upon. That was my lowest graded game for any defender this past year was Carrington Ballantyne versus the Eagles in that game. Just a really tough game overall, even outside of that one play. Obviously, that one play was a huge part of it. But I still have all the faith in the world. I think he can be a good corner. And depending on what Green Bay does in the draft and free agency, they could still really need him. And I'm hopeful that he can become that guy. He's a really, really fun player. But if there are gaps or deficiencies in your game, in big games, teams will find it. They'll attack it. They'll attack it over and over again. And you can guarantee everyone saw that Dallas Goedert play. And if he's on the outside and he's matched up against bigger players and there's opportunity to do that to him again, teams are going to try it because they're going to say he can't tackle on the outside. And that's a huge problem if he can't fix it. So it's going to be, I'm with you, a huge offseason for him.
Yep.
All right. Where do I want to go? This isn't fair, maybe, because it's not like maybe like where these other players are at in their career. I'm going to go Kenny Clark anyway. I think I think he needs to step up in a major way from where he was this past year, especially after the big contract that they just gave him. I don't even necessarily care about that, but like he is somebody that they are clearly counting on to be one of the top defenders on this team. And speaking earlier of like, you know, when Jaden Reed is going well, the offense is going well. When Kenny Clark is going well, usually the defense is going well. And I'm willing to give Kenny a lot, and I mean a lot of accident forgiveness here. Yeah. He's playing in a new defense for really kind of the first time and asked to do some things for the first time in his career. There was clearly a transition phase there. You can tell there's a little bit of maybe the juice that isn't maybe quite there with Kenny, but I still think he has all the right in the world to still be a very good defensive tackle, and Green Bay needs it. And I'm not saying he needs to be prime Kenny Clark. I'm not saying he needs to be playing 60, 70 snaps anymore on any given Sunday. Like I'm fine. Even if he needs to be at like 30, 35 snaps, anywhere around there, even if it's like 28 to 32, I'm fine by that. If it is the Kenny Clark snaps that we are used to, and he is eating up double teams and holding up at the point of attack. Like this is the first time where like against double teams where like Kenny would get washed out from time to time where I'm like, I don't think I've ever seen that before. Mm-hmm. And like even just run out of some run plays where I'm like, that never happens to Kenny. And again, I'm not saying all pro bowl, anything like that, but just a real good, solid defender for this team. They need that out of Kenny. I think he will. I think he's going to bounce back in a big way, but he's number three on my list.
Well, the good news is he's only like what, 25 years old. So he's still got
18 actually. He just turned into
a hotel. I totally agree with you that he deserves at least the benefit of the doubt that he can turn it around because like he's been a franchise staple his entire time here. And the thing I've missed the most from this past year, you mentioned the double teams, but like when he used to go up against a matchup that clearly was not on the same playing level as him, he would like let you know it. You'd fire off the snap. He would just obliterate guys. Like I think of, was it Brunskill in San Francisco that game?
Yeah.
Where he just annihilated him play after play after play. And I didn't see any of those games this year. And it really stinks that that's the case, but I'm with you. Maybe, you know, they start moving him around the line again a little bit more, putting him back at nose. I'm very curious to see how they utilize him to get him back to his old playing days. Cause I refuse to believe that like he's at the tail end of his career and ready to hang it up.
Totally with you. All right. Who you got as number four?
Is this our last one or second to last one?
Let's do two more each.
We'll perfect.
Do two
okay. more each. We'll I'll do, save we'll my crazy one for the end then.
All right, perfect. All right. So you can go any direction that you want here.
All right, then let's just go Dontavian Wicks because I love him so much. Devontavian Wicks, who continues to just obliterate, you know, analytics as far as separation rate and all of these things, but just cannot catch the football. we've said it a billion times, but like, just got to pray it's the Davante Adams development tree. Where like, he really struggled with drops early on in his career. Something clicked, and then he became at one point the best wide receiver in football. In a year where Watson's out and we don't know if they're going to take or add to the receiver room, which I hope they do, but he's going to be on the field a lot more, I think, this year. And I think it's time for him to step up. I think he knows it. I don't know if confidence is an issue or whatever it is. I feel confident, weirdly, that like, I think year three is the breakout year. And maybe it's just because I was so confident that last year didn't come to fruition. I still see stuff when he's out there where he can be just such a weapon.
I had him. He was going to be my next one on my list as well. So I'm right there. I think there's too much talent there. I think whether it's just a confidence thing or whatever it might be, to me, he has all the talent in the world to be as good as he wants. And to kind of have that season was really, really disappointing, especially early on. I felt like he leveled out a little bit more later in the year in a better way, but still not to the level that even he was playing at in 2023. So no brainer for me. He absolutely is on that list. And I think there's a level of play that he clearly can play at that we've seen him play at that was better than anything he did in 2024. And hopefully he's just following the Davante Adams career arc very, very closely and having that bad year too, so he can break out aggressively in year three.
100%. Fingers crossed. What about you? What do you got?
There's a couple different directions I could go here, but I'm just going to do it. And I think this player might just be who they are at this point, and that might be the case. I'm going to go Rashawn Gary, and it's kind of the same reasons as Kenny Clark and LVN. It's just like, you see how important the defensive front is. And I thought pre-ACL, I thought Rashawn Gary was playing at an incredibly high level. I mean, this is somebody in 2021, PFF had an 89-point grade on, had 87 pressures in 2021 for Rashawn Gary. 87 pressures. He had 49 last year with a 73 grade. And just to your point, I thought played some of his best run defense of his career. And I want to really highlight that as well, because I did think it was a legitimate step for Rashawn. I thought he played it much better. There were not those plays where he got caught screaming up the field and then they're using that aggressiveness against him, and whether it's countering him or reversing him or read optioning him into oblivion. Like, we didn't see that to the same level. And I do think he put a lot of time, effort, and energy into improving that aspect of his game. And when Green Bay made that jump into one of the best run defenses in the league last year, which we have not seen in Green Bay in ever, it feels like, plays like things like that really, really matter. So I do want to highlight that, but the pass rush has not quite been the same. Rashawn gets into these periods where it's like he almost forgets what type of pass rusher he needs to be and almost wants to become like a speed rusher at times. And then he kind of gets caught doing some of the same things over and over. And it's just like, he has so much ability there. And we've seen it again, that 2021 season. And I don't think it was just ACL. The weird part is when he first came back from the ACL, like that first like 6, 7, 8 game stretch post ACL, he was playing fantastic. He was playing unbelievable football, and then like hit a wall in that second season, which I understood because he was coming off the ACL or whatever. And then after that, this past year was it, like the wall still was there. It was like he couldn't get back fresh. And I don't know, maybe that's this year. I don't know what it is, but I just feel like I think he can be a true number one defensive end. And maybe if you do get a Max Crosby or whatever it might be, another big time edge rusher, maybe that just takes a little bit of the pressure off of Rashawn and makes it a little bit easier, less double teams, et cetera. But I just need a little bit more impact. I really want to see him be that 70, 80 pressure, a guy gamer again this season. Cause I think he really can be that.
Yeah. I wonder if just the way the beginning of the season started for the defense just broke everyone's brains on how to rush the passer. Cause they had so many mobile quarterbacks they had to face, and Halfley's whole scheme was like, we're just going to like mush rush and make sure that quarterback doesn't escape the pocket. And it really worked out. But then for the year going forward, they're like, Oh yeah, we have to remember how to rush the passer again, like a pure, you know, pass rush to get sacks. And then they had to rely too much on blitzes and things like that. And, you know, you just mentioned like, the Eagles won with 4 their whole freaking game against the Chiefs to win a Super Bowl. I want that. Like, give me that. Go find more pass rushers in the draft and free agency. But, like, it's all going to have to start with, like, Rashawn Gary. You paid him the money to be your premier pass rusher. He's got to step up for it. And I'm glad you mentioned the run defense stuff, though. Like, clearly put in the work into it. This is that next step for him to be, you know, I guess, live up to the top of market contract.
I have a guess for who your final guy is.
Guess.
Because you said it's a little bit off the wall. I think I'm probably wrong, but I'm going to take a stab at it anyway. Just because I was looking at him, like, who could he possibly be talking about here? I'm going to say Carl Brooks, but I don't know. I don't feel confident about it.
No, he was on my list. Mine doesn't even play. Tyron Hopper, I think, needs to take a step forward.
Love it. All right.
Eric Wilson and McDuffie are free agents. I don't know if either or both come back. Hopper was – so just prefer – to preface this, like, he was one of my last ranked prospects on my big board. And they took him, what, third, fourth round? I'm trying to remember. I was shook when they took
third
him.
Third round, end did. Of third.
Yeah, I was shook where they took them. So for him to get drafted that early and then not even scratch the field on defense outside of garbage time, like, I get it. It's a pretty stacked linebacker room, but you're in a 4-3 base defense. Three off-ball linebackers should be out there. For him to not see the field at all is a bit disappointing. I think it's going to be a crucial offseason because he's probably going to have to play. It's going to probably be Quay, Cooper, and him, unless they bring back one of McDuffie or Wilson, which I hope they bring back Wilson just because of the special teams value, veteran presence.
Even if one of those guys is back, I need Hopper to take that jump. I need Hopper to take that jump to outdo McDuffie or Wilson or both or whoever is there.
Because I didn't see it on film at Missouri. And if it's a scheme fit for Hafley, then, you know, show it. Take that step and let's see what it is. I'm not trying to trash him because I don't know how he's going to play when he's on the field. But, yeah, like, I just want to see it.
Was not a fan of the pick at the time. I did like him in camp a lot. I liked the way that he played. I liked the way that he attacked everything. Thought he had an okay preseason, like a very up and down preseason where there was some really good stuff. And then there was some stuff where, like, oh, he needs to clean that up. But he didn't look out of place. And then, of course, just barely got on the field. I had like a handful of snaps through the entirety of the year this past year. So nothing to judge based off of that. In person, when you're watching him, especially just kind of going back to training camp and stuff, man, he looks the part. Like he really looks like a legitimate NFL starting linebacker, height, weight, speed, can get sideline to sideline, plays aggressive, has a little bit of pop behind it. That definitely feels that way, but definitely not there yet. I did not expect him to get on the field last year based on some of the stuff that I saw. I was actually, after really not liking the pick to begin with, when I saw him in person, I could at least see the vision behind it. And that's all I ever need. Like, I don't have to obviously agree with everyone, nor does it matter, right? But like, because like we talked about at the very onset of our conversation today, you're going to get stuff wrong. I'm going to get stuff wrong. Goody's going to get stuff wrong. Like, everyone's going to get stuff wrong with this stuff. So as long as there's like a solid vision behind it, I'm always cool. And once I saw him in person, I'm like, I totally get it. I understand it immediately. Now let's see what he can do. But taking that jump would be huge for him. And because, you know, like, even with Quay and Cooper, probably going to miss a couple games here and there, and you're going to need somebody to step up. Would love for that to be a really well-performing Tyron Hopper.
Yep. We'll see what happens. There's going to be someone that just takes a huge step that we didn't even mention of these 10 guys, but I want to hear who your last guy is.
My last one's going to be an interesting one because I don't maybe think a lot of people would think of him in this way. It's not because I necessarily thought he had a bad season, but it's just because I'm so much higher on him than the way he played last year. And that's Rashid Walker. I think he can legitimately be a really good left tackle. Like, I'm not talking like top five, top 10 left tackle, but like, I think he can be upper half, like the 16th best offense, like left tackle in the league, like 16th best left tackle, I think is within his range of what he can become, maybe even a little bit higher than that. And I didn't think he played like it consistently this past year. There were games where he played well. There was games where he did not play well, but just kind of going back to the Philly game, it takes a really good offensive line and a defensive line. You have to win in the trenches. I think he can be much more consistent. I liked what he did at the end of 2023 more than what I really saw at any point in 2024. Right now, I'm more of almost of like, hey, you might need to have some competition for him, even if it's just to push him to be better. But I really want him to solidify that. He's in a contract year. Go out, dominate, be a top 15 left tackle in the league. And like, then we can kind of take it from there, but it's more of me thinking very highly of him and wanting to see him reach that than it is like, you know, he played terribly or anything like that. But I think there's something more there.
I mean, he's blown away my expectations from where I had him graded. Cause I mean, the fact that they got this kind of value out of a seventh round
for sure.
Incredible. Like, that's one of the better seventh round success stories in a decade. Like, and it doesn't get talked about enough. Like, he is a mainstay staple on one of the most notorious teams at developing offensive linemen. Like, that is truly an incredible, you know, start to your career. But I totally agree with you. If he wants to be that guy that holds down that job for 10 years, it's got to be a step forward next year. Because I don't think his job is safe. Jordan Morgan, they drafted for a reason. They might want him at left tackle. They could still theoretically sign someone. It would be a shock to me if they signed a left tackle. But I don't think it's outside the realm of possibility if they find a guy that thinks a franchise guy or even draft one. But that's just what the Packers do. They always develop stash offensive linemen. And I always say it, whatever they want to do on the offensive line, I'm just going to let them do it because I trust them more than I trust myself.
To your point, if they went out and got a big time left tackle, right, whether it be via the free agency or the draft, like, and again, I'm not expecting it either, but like Rashid being a really good swing tackle, he's still on a like a, you know, minimum type contract. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not the craziest thing in the world to solidify the backup tackle spot with Rashid and then have this really good left tackle across from Zach Tom. And all of a sudden you have one of the best tackle duos in football if you did something like that. But to your point, If Rashid wants to get that next contract in Green Bay and be that next mainstay at that spot going forward, he needs to have a really big offseason and then an actual season in 2025 to earn that next contract in Green Bay.
I can't believe you're saying they're going to sign Ronnie Stanley. That's just crazy.
I know. That's what they're going to spend all their money on, just a big-time left tackle. They're actually going to trade for Trent Williams is what they're going to do. Don't see that happening either. This is a good list. I really like this. So Tyler's list, Jaden Reed, Jordan Love, Carrington Valentine, Dontavian Wicks, and Tyron Hopper. Definitely going a little bit more young developmental. Mine was definitely in trenches based. LVN, Kenny Clark, Rashawn Gary, Rashid Walker, and then Luke Musgrave as kind of my only non-trenches player. But I think all 10 of those, man, if just a handful could take a pretty decent step forward, I would feel really, really good about Green Bay's upcoming prospects in 2025, especially if one of those handful would be Jordan Love.
I mean, it's also just looking at that list, it's a reminder, this is still the youngest team in football, and so many of these guys can still get better. There's only a handful of guys where I'm thinking they're on the downhill of their career potentially, and it's just, that's the part that I think keeps getting lost about all the offseason talk of who they're going to sign, who they're going to draft. Like, maybe also just guys are going to get really good next year.
Let's take LVN, let's take Musgrave, let's take Hopper, those three, and just say, you know what, those three ended up not working out, right? We've never seen them play well, and maybe they just never do. Let's just take those three and say they never do, right? But like, we've seen really good Jaden Reed, we've seen really good Jordan Love, we've seen pretty darn good Carrington Valentine, we've seen pretty darn good Dontavian Wicks, we've seen unbelievable Kenny Clark, we've seen really good Rashawn Gary, and we've seen some pretty good play out of Rashid Walker as well. If those seven just play at like the peakish level of what we've already seen from them, I'm like good. Like, I don't need, honestly, this entire list.
That's a Super Bowl contender to me.
The other three players could be like complete busts. And those seven that I mentioned just need to play at the higher levels of what we've already seen them do, not even do anything above and beyond crazy from what we've seen from them already. I feel really good about that in and of itself.
I love the offseason, man. We can just speculate about everything.
It's the best.
If you have a vivid imagination
in the offseason, we don't lose anything in the offseason. We only win things in the offseason. So it's a beautiful thing.
Can't lose the offseason. Impossible. Unless you really piss off the fan base.
That's true. Yeah. There will be a second or third round pick that will clearly, like, every single year, they're going to take somebody that's like, what did they just do? Like, that'll be the one thing, of course. But
or you could overall be the Atlanta Falcons and take a quarterback in the first round. Everyone gets mad. And then it turns out probably being the right call.
NFL is a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful mystery. Nobody can figure it out. It's a level of calculus that nobody understands. It's the absolute best. Tyler, you're the absolute best. What do you got cooking on the 33rd team and coming out for us, or anything you want to plug on the way out here?
Yeah, so I actually already wrote a big story I'm pretty proud of this week. I got to interview Jalen Knoll out of Iowa State, the slot receiver. Terrific vertical threat. Got to break down some film with him, talk to him a bit. He seems quite confident. He was trying to be humble about it, but he was trying not to like smile about the combine coming up. He is going to the combine. Sounds like he's going to tear it up. Keeping an eye on him. I don't know if he's a Packers fit necessarily, but really excited to see where he goes because I think he's a heck of a player.
That's awesome. Can't wait to check that out. Make sure to go check it out over on the 33rd team. You can follow him on social media at Tyler D. Brook. You can find me at Andy Herman NFL. That's going to do it for us today. But until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.